Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. Congress, as we know, John, was in session this week, taking on big issues, confronting the country. But what you might not know is behind the scenes, another exercise nearly as important was taking place, and that was Freshman Orientation Week. 54 new lawmakers were readying themselves for office come January. Think of it as kind of a seminar on how to make law, if you didn't know.
Hey, what's your major?
And how to find an apartment for those who are coming from faraway states. Todd Zwillick is joining us, PRI's Capital News Connection reporter and our friend here at The Takeaway. Good morning, Todd. And
hi, good morning,
where
Adora.
Do they start? How do you learn to become a lawmaker?
This is Congress school. They go to classes all week. You know, freshman orientation in Congress is really a lot like freshman orientation at college. They have mixers. They have meet and greets. They have seminars. They learn everything, like you said, from learning how to get an apartment to hiring a chief of staff and a staff, how to get an office set up. Everything from that to learning actually how to vote, how to stick their electronic card in the slot and press yay, nay, or present. They have a class on that, too. They learn the rules of the House. They learn about seniority. They learn probably a little bit of how not to mess up, and they go to school for the week.
Well, they got a good lesson on seniority this week, didn't they, with the big battle between Dingell from Michigan and Waxman from California.
Yeah, they did. It's not all fun and games this week. There actually is quite a lot of politics, and it can be extremely daunting for some new members. When they come to town, leadership elections always take place during orientation, and the incoming freshmen, even though they've never cast a vote on the floor, they have to vote, and that means the lobbying from the senior members starts right away. There were members who won election to Congress for the first time on Tuesday night, November 4th, and Wednesday morning got a call from Henry Waxman. And from John Dingell, two guys, some of them, they weren't really sure who they were, but they found out pretty quick because these were two, as we said earlier this week, these were two titans running for control of a major committee. And the pressure is on now. It's a secret ballot. They don't have to say how they're going to vote, but the pressure's on for their votes, and they get calls and they get lobbied by lots of senior members.
Kind of like Fraternity Rush, I guess.
Except for it's the opposite there, right? The senior members tend to be harder on the junior members, as opposed to the senior members lobbying the junior members.
Yeah, it's a form of hazing, I guess.
And Todd, obviously nothing is more important than where they are going to put down their belongings and have their offices. Let's listen. You spoke to Bobby Bright, an incoming Democratic freshman from Alabama, and here's what he said about his office.
I'm not choosy. I'm not an elitist. I got here because I'm a populist. I believe in the people, and so I don't need to have a plush, big plush office to represent my constituents.
Put them in the parking lot then.
Yeah, well, Bobby Bright doesn't have to worry about being given a big plush office. There's almost no chance of that. There is a strict pecking order in Congress, and what happens is all of the other senior members get to choose their offices according to the strict seniority, and the 54 new freshmen get the dregs. They get whatever's left. So the way it works is an office lottery, and that's today. And it is a lottery. All 54 names, there are 54 incoming freshmen, and this morning they're going to gather in a big room in the Rayburn Building. They're going to put all their names in a bingo-style lottery hopper. It's a wire hopper. Choose their names. Getting number 54 is bad. Getting number 1 is great. That means you choose first. And listen to this. Here was the scene 2 years ago at the office lottery. It can get emotional.
Ms. Gabriel Giffords. 47. Ms. Gillibrand. Ms. Gillibrand selected number 3.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Any running water there for Ms. Giffords?
Well, you know, people might be curious who – it's been in the movies and stuff, in Eddie Murphy movies, who has the worst office in all of Congress. And there probably is no single worst office, but Gabrielle Giffords, who's from Arizona, by the way, probably has one of the worst. She is – when she got 47 2 years ago, that means that she got parked up there on the fifth floor of the Cannon building. Now, that doesn't sound so bad. You are a member of Congress, but most of the elevators in Cannon only go to four. And Gabby Giffords herself calls that office nosebleed heaven. And she told me the other day that often when constituents come to visit her in the Cannon building, they can't find their way there because the elevator doesn't go all the way to her office. They have to send staff down to the lobby to collect the constituents to get them up to the office. So she calls it nosebleed heaven, but she did say one thing. She told me that, you know, she gets a lot of exercise walking back and forth to the floor and to the committee room. However, she found out that nosebleed heaven belonged to Lyndon Johnson when he was a freshman.
Huh.
So she doesn't feel too badly about it, that she might be going places.
He did okay.
Yeah.
He did all right.
He did okay. But once you've gotten an office, do you have to stay in that office or can you get an upgrade?
Oh, upgrades happen almost immediately and people get them almost immediately. It's all about seniority. So once you're no longer a freshman, once members retire or lose elections, what happens is everybody below them in seniority gets to move up the chain. So if an 18 member retires or passes away or leaves Congress for some reason, a 17 term member could choose to move into that office, and then everybody else can move up. And earlier this week, the more senior members are choosing offices based on seniority. Whatever is left vacant from that, the freshmen get to choose from the dregs there.
Just out of curiosity, not to put you on the spot, but let's take Senator Ted Stevens' office, for example. I mean, he has been in the Senate for 40 years. I'm assuming he's got a great office. Who gets it?
Well, who will get it? Well, the Senate works a little bit differently than the House, actually, of course, but it is also based on seniority, and whoever gets Ted Stevens' office will be the most senior member who wants to move. So they'll go to the next senior member, and it would be somebody. God, it might even be Ted Kennedy. You can't imagine Ted Kennedy wanting to move. He's got a fantastic office. However, they would go to Senator Kennedy and say, the office is available. Senator, do you want to move? And he would say, gee, do I want to move my staff of 220 people? However, more than Stevens' office, he has what's called a hideaway. Very senior senators have little nooks inside the Capitol itself. These offices are not in the Capitol. They're in the office buildings. But senior senators have nooks, and they're ornate little – they're called hideaways. And where senators can go.
They're even called cabins.
Alone.
Cabins.
Yep.
Sometimes.
They're lovely.
It's an inside joke there for those
Todd Zwillick, we hope that you have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Oh, well, thank you.
Todd Zwillick is a reporter for PRI's Capital News Connection.
For all you need to know, go, go, Todd Zwillick.